Once again from the Huffington Post, and this is a blog written by Caroline Lucas, Green Party MP for Brighton Pavilion. Leaving the EU risks dirty beaches in Britain, endangering our wildlife and scuppering the fight against climate change. Well, let me start with that last one first. Climate change... The climate is cyclic. It changes... There were times in history when the Thames froze. There were times in history when the English Channel froze over. There were times when there was no snow in winter. And there have been times recently when we've had snow in June. The climate changes, and there's not a lot we can do about it. But she's the Green Party representative, and this is coming from her, so... She's going to hold these views that it's all man-made. Okay, let's see what she has to say. Every summer at the first hint of blue skies and sunshine, the beach in my constituency in Brighton fills up with people who've travelled from far and wide to enjoy the beautiful seaside. And quite right too. The scenes of those days are replicated across the country. We are people who, despite the inconsistent weather and chilly water, like to be beside the seaside. I couldn't agree more, Caroline. It's easy to forget that bathing in British waters was a hazardous activity not so long ago, and that it was action from the EU which cleaned up the coastline. Was it really? Did the EU commissioners come down with nets and clean all those floaters out and all the used condoms? Did they come down and do that, or was it British workers that did that? And where is all this stuff coming from anyway? It's got to be washed in from somewhere. Somebody somewhere is dumping a whole load of crap into the sea and it's washing up on our coastline. In the 1970s, sewage blighted the beaches of these islands. In 1976, the European Union passed the Bathing Water Directive, which compelled countries to clean up their act and thus decrease the pollution levels in the seas, which we all share. That's right, we all share them. So once again, I ask... Where's all the junk coming from? And you can't say it was all sewage from Britain. Are you saying that people had a direct pipe from their toilet directly into the sea? Is that what you're insinuating? The progress was slow at first, but the results are now clear for all to see. By 1990, just over a quarter of our beaches met water quality standards. Yeah, but whose standards? We had British standards before then. And we stuck to those as well. Are EU standards higher or lower than the previous British standards? By 1990, just over a quarter of our beaches met water quality standards. Now, with even stricter rules passed by the EU in 2006, over 97% of England's bathing waters have met the new minimum standard. Our beaches and seas are cleaner and coastal economies are being given a boost because of EU regulations. No, let me start off by saying that it's not because of EU regulations. The seas are cleaner and coastal economies are doing well because we've cleaned up our seas. We've cleaned up our beaches. It's us that's gone along and cleaned up the beaches, not the EU. We were doing that anyway, before the EU started poking around. Caroline continues... It's also thanks to EU rules that some of the most precious wildlife in the UK has been protected. What? You mean like the EU rules called making space for water, which allowed the Somerset levels to be flooded, killing all those burrowing animals and those that couldn't fly away or couldn't swim? You mean like that kind of EU directive? At the northern edge of her constituency are the South Downs, a splendid chalk hill landscape extending from Eastbourne to Winchester. On those hills and across the UK's countryside, species have been protected by a variety of EU environmental laws. Yeah, these are the laws that stop people going where they want. The fate of British birds is a case in point. Analysis by the RSPB, that's the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Birds, BirdLife International and Durham University reveals that the most consistent single factor in a species' fate is whether it has the highest level of protection under the EU's Birds Directive. The EU Birds Directive. Because we here in Britain can't be trusted to look after our own indigenous birds. Some of the successes have been astonishing. Red kite numbers are up 2,054%. Cranes are up 1,660%. And marsh harriers are up 998%. Where are those figures from, Caroline? Who counted them? And over what period? And it's not just birds that are safeguarded under EU rules. So are bats, newts, otters, lizards, and, crucially, the habitats in which they live. I'd just like to say that bats, newts, otters and lizards were already protected by British law before the EU came nosing around. Have a look back in history. Protecting nature is good for us all, not only because of the inherent value of looking after the beautiful British countryside, which you would allow to flood under EU law because of making space for water, it's also beneficial for our mental health and fundamental to a well-functioning economy. But how can that economy function if you're not going to let people go and see these places? Because the only reason that these numbers have gone up, if they have, and the only reason that these places have been safeguarded, as you like to call it, is because EU directives prevent people going to these places. Okay, here we go. Of course, it is the threat of catastrophic climate change which hangs over everything else we're doing to protect our environment. Once again, it's cyclical. Everything changes. Once upon a time, you know, there were glaciers on the Yorkshire Dales. There were glaciers in Scotland. Surely there is no better reason to work with our neighbours than the need to tackle this complex cross-border catastrophe in our midst. If we join forces with other countries, strengthening the EU-wide rules on carbon emissions... carbon emissions. CO2, eh? That heavy stuff that's heavier than air that plants need. You mean that stuff? Then we have a chance of keeping future generations safe. Going it alone is simply not an option for a challenge of this magnitude. Well, we don't need to be in the EU to work with other countries to look after the environment. We don't have to be in the EU, we just have to talk to our neighbours in Europe. Remember, Europe and the EU are two completely different things. And yes, once again, let's just think about CO2, okay? Carbon and oxygen. It's heavier than oxygen, which means it sinks to the bottom of things. It stays near the surface and plants take it in. They use it and that helps them grow. And then they give out oxygen, which we use to take in to grow. And the biggest emitter of CO2 is what? It's not cars. It's not factories. It's human beings. And the only way Caroline is going to reduce the amount of CO2 as she wants is by reducing the number of people. That's a whole different ballgame. Anyway, Caroline carries on. It's impossible to know exactly what would happen if Britain left the EU. Well, it is, actually. It is quite possible to know exactly what would happen if we left the EU. We would continue trading with the EU, and we would continue talking to our EU partners as a sovereign government. And we would let them know what we wanted to change, and we would let them know what we were going to change to make our country a better place to live. And they would either help us or they wouldn't. When it comes to protecting our environment, the government has dropped some heavy hints. Ministers have tried their best to water down air pollution rules. The Chancellor has said that EU nature laws place ridiculous costs on British farmers. Well, they do. It's very difficult to be a farmer these days. It's almost impossible, which is why we're importing 40,000 tons of cheddar cheese every year. Yeah, there's a little fact for you. Didn't you know that the UK has to import, just to meet demand, 40,000 tons of cheddar cheese every year? Because British farmers can't afford to make it themselves. How's that sound, Caroline? How's that doing with your carbon miles and your big footprint? Most worryingly of all, according to Caroline, the government has been vigorously stripping away support for clean energy and renewable technology in the UK. Really? Is that why people have been able to get free solar panels? And is that why there's windmills all over the place? Not just on land, but out at sea as well. That's them vigorously stripping away support for clean energy, is it? Oh, and let's not forget that they have been going cap in hand to the Chinese to pay for the next nuclear power station. You see, it's all right saying that we all need to drive energy-efficient cars and electric cars and everything, but, Caroline, where does that electricity come from? That's right, a nuclear reaction somewhere. The EU isn't perfect. There's one statement in this entire article that I can totally agree on. And ongoing reform to strengthen environmental rules is clearly needed. But the idea of leaving our precious environment in the hands of the current set of ministers fills me with terror. What she's basically saying is that we can't be trusted. We, the British people, cannot be trusted to look after our own countryside. We have to rely on some faceless bureaucrat in Brussels who has never been to this country and is just arbitrarily making rules and diktats from their ivory tower, which we are supposed to just go along with. And it fills you with terror that the British people would be left to look after their own country? Caroline, Caroline, if you really want to save the environment, maybe you should move. How about China? Why don't you move to China and have a go at them about their environmental standards? Go and see what China are doing, Caroline, before you get filled with terror about the British ministers and how they would look after the environment. It wouldn't be the British ministers looking after the environment anyway. It would be the likes of me and the people listening to this. It certainly wouldn't be you. Would you be down there clearing up somebody else's turds and rubber johnnies from the beach in your constituency? I don't think so. Caroline's far, far, far too important for that. Anyway, let her finish. Ultimately, it's obvious that being part of the EU makes sense when it comes to protecting our environment. Well, it does to her anyway. Pollution and environmental degradation don't respect national borders, so we clearly need cross-border solutions to the challenge we face. And once again, we can have those cross-border agreements and solutions by simply talking to other governments. By our government and our people talking to other governments and other people and making sure that we all work together. And for that, I'm afraid, we don't need the EU. But anyway, Caroline finishes her piece by saying, I'm pleased to be part of Environmentalists for Europe, which launches today. I firmly believe that Britain should remain a member of the EU and that those of us who care about the environment should be working with like-minded colleagues across the continent to defend and add to the cross-border protections we have in place. Caroline Lucas is the Green MP for Brighton Pavilion. Once again, I will keep repeating myself. We don't need to be in the EU to work with like-minded colleagues across the continent. It doesn't take the EU for us to talk to each other and say, hey, Frenchie, stop throwing your rubbish into the sea so it washes up on our beaches. And hey, Belgians, stop throwing crap into the sea. And Germany, please stop pumping out all that pollution which flows across in the sky and then rains down on us. And hey, Iceland, stop having volcanoes. Can you cap all your volcanoes, please? Because it interferes with our weather and it makes dust fall on our countryside. What a ridiculous concept. So once again, Caroline, we don't have to be in the EU to talk and to work with our European partners across the continent. They're two separate things. Please, please, please look into making space for water, because it was because of that that the Somerset levels were flooded. And I was down there and I saw the devastation after the floodwaters receded. And I saw the dead animals, which you claim to want to protect.